again?
Yeah, he had a good camp coming into his injury, and then he missed just a big chunk of it. So he'll go back down and get some minutes under his belt. And but he did well. You know, I've got confidence in him coming up. I wouldn't have a problem putting him in the lineup at all.
Well, do you worry at all about Michael Hutchinson's confidence after having to come out of that game the other night?
No, we've had a good talk about it, and they deal with those things. That's all part of that role. So, not every day's Christmas in the National Hockey League, and sometimes you got to deal with the bumps, and that's part of what he has to deal with. Both goalies and all goalies in the league are going to fight through that at one point, and they need to be able to do it.
You talked a little bit about home ice advantage yesterday. As mm-hmm. a coach who's been down south and in hockey-crazy markets in the past, is there anything you do as a coach to take advantage of an environment like that?
Well, not in so far that you'd change your game plan. I mean, you want to get out at home and give the crowd an opportunity to give you that lift. But you're trying to do that, you know, on the road. You're trying to take the crowd out of it by the same exact same style of game. The advantage is that really, sure, the opener idea of, you know, the first game is going to be wild, but it really in January and February where everybody's beat up around the league, and your crowd can drive you. It really can, and you see it in games. You know, just the Nashville-Ottawa game, it was a tight game. They were down one, and they scored, and the crowd got into the game, and all of a sudden one team's just skating faster than the other, and that's the energy that a home crowd can give you.
Can you talk a bit about the level? We hear about this frequently in the preseason about how it gets better as the preseason goes on, and then when the regular season starts,
yeah,
it jumps up, and then there's another point during the right. You know, and blah, blah, blah.
All-star break.
But you guys played two of the elite Western Conference teams right off the bat on your first weekend. Can you talk about that jump from late in the preseason to that?
Right, that's the big run, right? So San Jose, and you go back to last year to their start, there wasn't anybody that can come near them. I mean, they were just blowing the doors off everybody, and L.A. had another big night last night. They're just on their game, and they had a real strong preseason as well. So I don't think that's bad. In some ways, it's a continuation of your training camp, right? You want to get into the grind. Well, we got into three teams, and Phoenix grinds hard. They're a big, big team. We had three real physical games, and you could see it kind of in how the bodies came back to the rink the day after. But we got back into that grind the next day, and want to use that, the fact that we just played three really hard games to prepare us now. We feel we're as healthy as we should be after those three games, and we're ready for that kind of grind start. And I think Nashville's going to bring that as well.
Could you talk just a little bit about what makes Zach Bogosian a good choice to play top-line minutes for you?
Well, he's an incredibly fit guy. He skates as well as most defensemen in the league, and he can handle it. So he can handle he can take enough hits and give some back. Very, very strong. We see him at his best when he is getting up the ice and joining the rush. So he's not a guy that conserves during his minutes. So he's not sitting back and picking one or two spots. It's a speed game for him, getting up the ice, closing the gap, playing physical. But we have him in a role where he's going to play a lot of minutes against the other team's best, and those guys are on the ice an awful lot, and being that he kills penalties as well, and we've worked on our penalty going quite a bit in the first three games, his minutes are just going to be up.
Power play-wise, are you looking for a kind of reps to get a foundation in place of the structure and then react from there?
And some even games, too, where part of our penalty killing success is we run some of our better players on the penalty kill, and you'd like to get a power play not after you've killed, you know, 12 minutes. You know, just some evenness where you get into a bit of a 5-on-5 rotation that the guys coming off the bench are fresh and more than one every 2.5 periods, you know.
Do you have some early season concerns about the officiating reading between the lines?
No, none at all. No, I mean, I, you know what, I never, I mean, sure, I'm going to, like everybody, beef the officials once or twice a year, but this game is so hard to referee. It's just so fast, and they're asked to make calls, and player safety is a bigger concern now than I think ever. And it's early in the year where you see more calls. That's just the way this goes. So, oh, no, we own our penalties. We've gotten the ones, whether you deserve them or not. You're getting some every night. Most nights you're getting penalties, whether you like them or not, so you just might as well just kill them.
We hear so much about depth in this league. What's it like as a coach to have to compensate for the loss of a player as skilled as Evander Kane?
Unfortunately, it's not a one-off occurrence, so it's everybody's used to it, right? Around the league, depth is tested, and that's why it's talked about so much. Everybody's going to have these injuries to key guys. You hope they're short-term, and you hope you don't get a run of them at the same time. But you know that idea of opportunity for a guy coming in, but it's also an opportunity for you to look at your team a little differently. So he's an important player, and now we've got Bufflin on the left side on that line, and those guys generated some offense. So it's a look, maybe it puts people in a little different position. You get a look at a guy, and maybe you think about your team a little bit differently, or you can run your lines a little bit differently, because we're going to get a period of time. So it's not just one or two games here. We'll get a block of games here with Evander out, where we'll get to look at our team a little differently.
I think your third line was on for one of the seven goals so far this year. Do you need them to be more consistently offensive to succeed this year?
Just do it as a whole group, right? So one of our lines was on for, I think, six of them. So, yeah, how do you want to trade that off? You know, if you're going to give up one, get one plus, and we're good. And we're going to win a lot of hockey games. So it's not just about scoring for them. They've been reasonably solid defensively. We're going to need some scoring depth. There's no question about that. But we think we can. We got to get our power play put some numbers up for us to take some pressure off that. But, yeah, eventually all the lines got to kick in.
Dustin, up on the first line, there's a little bit of a hole on that third line. Guys have rotated in. With Adam on that line, how much does that play into, you know, your evaluation of him this early in the season?
Well, he's on the line that we had him started with, so he hasn't come out of role for that. The difference was, and we're only talking about 2 or 3 minutes here, but we had Dustin there, and that changes the look of that line quite a bit. But there was a block of time there when Wheeler was in the box for his 17-minute disappearance. That Adam went out with Scheifele and Bufflin over on the right. I didn't mind that look either. So those are the things you kind of you can't look at everything in preseason, and with the injuries we couldn't. But I thought that was valuable too, because I liked his game there. And, you know, I know it's two young guys playing with your leading scorer from last year, but there was something there in that. So who knows? Maybe you get to that in a week or two.